You're listening to the Prepper Recon Podcast. For questions, comments, and podcast archives, go to PrepperRecon.com.
Are you a pastor who doesn't feel led to address politics in your church? Do shivers of fear run up your spineless back every time you consider teaching about liberty or the Constitution? Don't fret, you're not alone. In fact, most American pastors are just like you. But you do need to prepare for a period of adjustments in the near future. Soon, thanks to your dereliction of duty, freedom of religion will be gone and the church doors will be chained shut, leaving your sorry tail out of a job. That's why we've started the Prepper Recon Vocational School for Pastors. We'll train you to thrive in the post-church world of tomorrow in jobs like air duct installation. Having no backbone makes you a top candidate for moving around in tight spaces. Shoeshining is another option. Many boot-licking preachers find the transition remarkably fluid. Don't wait until the padlock is already on the door of your 501c3 house of worship. Call now and enroll today.
I've personally been buying gold and silver from JM Bullion for over 2 years. They offer the best prices over spot that I can find, and I've never had a problem with an order. If you're looking to trade in some of your fiat paper for real money, check out jmbullion.com today.
Hi, Preppers and Patriots. This is the second half of my interview with James Wesley Rawls. Enjoy the show. The New York Times had a story last week on the USDA's report about the average SNAP grocery cart. They found that 20% of SNAP benefits are spent on junk food and 10% of SNAP benefits are spent on sweetened beverages. The grain dole was one of the many straws that eventually broke the economic back of ancient Rome. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with the SNAP cards, which used to be called, that's the replacement for food stamps. We now have a society where we have a large segment of the society that's dependent on federal federal handouts for food subsistence, and tragically, a lot of these people are squandering that money on empty calories. Really, foods that have no real nutritive value at all. They're truly junk foods. And because there's no restrictions placed, you know, with the WIC program, for example, women that are buying food for their infants and small children are limited to buying particular types of food. But with a SNAP card, people can buy whatever they want, and unfortunately, if they're not well educated about nutrition, they're going to end up buying junk food and a lot of soda pop. It's really quite tragic. And from a preparedness standpoint, it leaves them very poorly prepared because, of course, the caloric value may be there in terms of raw calories, but they're just sugar calories. And there's no real nutritive value. So in the event of a disaster situation, if they're relying on those foods that they've bought, they're really going to be at a disadvantage.
And that USDA report found that 40% was spent on a food group which included highly processed, pre-prepared foods. These are sort of the microwave dinners and things like that. And only 40 cents of every dollar was being spent on basic food items like meat, fruits, vegetables, milk, eggs, and bread. With the 97% devaluation of the dollar since the creation of the Fed, I'm sure a lot of those benefits are probably going to the working poor, but a vast amount of the people that are eating these pre-prepared, highly processed foods are folks with very sedentary lifestyles. And we, the people, are currently footing the bill for healthcare in America. These costs are something that I don't think ancient Rome could have ever fathom. So how sustainable do you think that is for America?
not very sustainable at all. In fact, if anything, as I've mentioned in interviews in the past, we have a society that's increasingly dependent on outside help and increasingly medicated and increasingly overweight and increasingly at risk to diabetes and other chronic health conditions. And in addition to prescription drugs, people are self-prescribing a whole cocktail of non-prescription drugs, alcohol, marijuana, you name it. So if we do have another crisis of some sort where there's a disruption of supply, we have built ourselves a real house of cards with our own population. We have a population that is so incredibly dependent on food stamp benefits, now called SNAP benefits, dependent on the supply chain of all these medications, and also dependent on medical insulin, for example, and also sleep apnea breathing machines. We've really built a huge house of cards, and if we have any disruption of the power grid and supply chain, we're going to have a large segment of the population that's just plain going to perish. It's going to be a just absolutely tragic situation.
Military overreach was another one of the issues that Rome had to deal with. Do you have faith that Trump's going to recall the resources that were sent to the Russian border?
Well, it's hard to predict what's going to happen internationally. I was hoping that Trump was going to surround himself with people who were in favor of small government, but a lot of his cabinet picks have been people who are more or less status quo and closely tied to the banking cartels. So I'm not holding my breath in terms of substantive change coming out of the Trump administration. And when it comes to foreign policy and troop deployments, I think the jury is still out. It remains to be seen where Trump will really end up, if he's going to keep with his campaign promises and broker independent peace deals, if he's going to detach the United States from NATO, or at least force NATO to foot the other NATO countries to foot the majority of the bill for European theater defense. We really don't know how that's all going to play out. I think it's fairly likely that Trump will make diplomatic initiatives to Russia, and I think they may be very well received, and we could see a de-escalation of what's going on in Poland and Norway right now, for example. But again, it remains to be seen.
And as someone that spent a good amount of time in your service to our country through the military, would you want to dare to estimate the money that was spent on moving tanks and infrastructure and personnel to Poland and really what amounted to Obama sticking his tongue out at Putin?
Yeah. Anytime you get more than a brigade level deployment, your costs are going to run into the hundreds of millions of dollars if you look at the grand scheme of things. Because, you know, the budget for what used to be called the Military Airlift Command for the Air Force is flexible, but a lot of that is baseline budget. And they have that entire fleet of aircraft standing by at all times, and they have a training budget for fuel. And the only blip in that budget is actual deployments. But if you look at the total cost of deployments, if you look at all the background logistical infrastructure that's required to make that happen, the costs really are enormous. They run into the millions, if not billions of dollars just to be ready for deployments, much less the deployments themselves. I think that if you look at it from a macro level, the United States has been misallocating its military spending for decades, and some of our military budget actually is an indirect military budget that dates back to the 1973 Arab-Israeli peace settlement. We have been giving $1 billion of military aid per year to Israel and to Egypt ever since 1973. That's a huge amount of money in cumulative terms. It's really been a subsidy to the American defense industry to be setting aside that much money each year. It's been a huge expenditure, and that's just one example of the misallocation of funds that's been going on for so long. You also have huge vested interests in the higher-ranking echelons of the United States Navy and Air Force and Army with their pet programs. For example, the Air Force F-35 program has been a huge just boondoggle. If that same amount of money were spent on semi-stealthy fighters like F-16s and close air support aircraft, the Air Force could have a huge fleet of aircraft in place of just a handful of F-35 fighters. It's been an absolute boondoggle. The United States Navy has done the same thing by its insistence on maintaining a large surface fleet and having its own air superiority fighters based on carriers. Years ago, the United States Navy should have switched toward a smaller, stealthy fleet and a much larger fleet of submarines to really be ready for modern warfare, but they haven't. Because, let's face it, admirals don't want to do tours on submarines. It's uncomfortable. And they want to have these enormous battleships and cruisers and aircraft carriers. They're more or less ego pieces at this point, and they're really putting the United States at a strategic disadvantage.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Katie Armor offers affordable body armor, including level 3 trauma plates made of AR-500 steel. They can endure multiple rounds from pistols and rifles up to 7.62 NATO. Order today from katiearmor.com. That's CATIArmor.com. Ready-Made Resources is a trusted name in the prepper community because they've been around for 18 years. They offer great prices on night vision, water filtration, long-term storage food, solar energy components, and provide free technical service. Get ready for an uncertain future at readymaderesources.com.
After a massive wave of disappearances, 26-year-old CIA analyst Everett Carroll finally believes what he's been told about the biblical prophecy of the rapture. Global currencies have collapsed, famine and plague have claimed the lives of millions, and the world has crumbled into chaos. Seven seals, seven trumpets, and seven vials of God's wrath are about to be poured out upon the earth, and woe to the inhabitants thereof. Buy your copy of The Days of Elijah, Book 1, Apocalypse, by best-selling author Mark Goodwin, in paperback or Kindle edition from Amazon.com today.
And I do expect that the president's going to make good on his promises to secure the borders, but we're literally talking about closing the barn doors after the horses are already out. How do we even begin to address the threat of Islamic terrorism in America?
That's a huge imponderable, and you're right. The horses are long out the door on that. We have allowed a huge amount of Islamic immigration into the United States. A lot of those people have completely dropped off the radar. Every year, there are tens of thousands of foreign college students who start a college education in the United States and then just disappear. They completely dropped off the radar. And some of those have been from predominantly Muslim countries. We have a situation where we have an uncontrolled border. Even if we institute better border controls, a real wall, a real fence, a border fence, if one that's comparable to what the Israelis built on the Egyptian border, for example. But even with that, we have a huge number of sleeper agents that are surely already in the country and they could be activated at a later date. A lot of them are very deeply entrenched and essentially invisible at this point. Some of them are even multi-generational sleeper agents. And unfortunately, to really make Donald Trump's promise of border security and deporting foreign illegal aliens, to make that work, we really would need a real police state, which nobody wants. So we're really in a quandary.
Speaking of the police state, do you worry that Mr. Trump may not have the best understanding of the Constitution when it comes to trading liberty for safety?
I'm afraid you're right, Mark. I'm afraid that since he has a reputation as a deal maker, and he also, I think, from the basis of ego, if nothing else, wants to live up to the campaign promise of secure borders and ejecting illegal aliens, he might very well trade our liberty for the nation's safety.
How do you see the fake news battle playing out in the near future? CNN's certainly losing credibility, but Facebook is already stepping in to fill the gap. So where do you think this is headed?
Well, I think it's going to get a lot worse. We're going to see wider and wider swings of public opinion taking place, and more outlandish fake news, particularly on the part of the CNNs of the world and the Washington Posts of the world. I mean, the Washington Post has been caught in two major scandals just recently. I think things are going to get a lot worse, and the whole situation with fake news is going to be exacerbated in the months to come. And unfortunately, we could end up in a situation where Congress moves toward restricting the blogosphere, where they try to clamp down on so-called fake news when the worst of it is really coming from news outlets like CNN, but they'll be pointing fingers at the blogging world, at video blogs, at blogs and traditional blogs and podcasts. They'll be pointing to us as the perpetrators of fake news, and they'll try to institute various sorts of controls. And if and when that happens, the only real freedom will be for bloggers who first move their servers offshore, and then eventually they might have to physically move offshore to maintain their journalistic freedom.
Zuckerberg and Merkel were caught on a hot mic discussing how they might best influence the German elections. And we know that Google and Facebook were both burying news about Hillary's connection with pedophiles and Podesta's fascination with satanic sex rituals. And that was all done to influence the U.S. elections. But there's no outcry about that.
Well, that's the classic double standard that exists in American media. And I don't think either of us are going to solve that anytime soon. And frankly, with the whole Pizzagate investigation, I think they've really only scratched the surface. But I really don't want to go into conjecture about what really has gone on, because I really don't feel qualified to comment on that beyond saying that I think that we have yet to see the end of it, and the end results could be, well, let's just say quite interesting when all is said and done.
Are people too trusting of the amount of personal information they entrust to Facebook?
I'm a huge believer in avoiding social media altogether. In fact, if you'll notice at my blog, at survivalblog.com, I don't have any links to Twitter, to Facebook, to Instagram, to any of those. Because in essence, all social media is essentially an intelligence gathering tool for the powers that be, whether that goes into the hands of intelligence agencies, into the hands of law enforcement, or in the hands of political pressure groups like the Southern Poverty Law Center. Virtually everything that people do on social media is they're building their own personal dossier against themselves. And what you're posting right now could be fairly innocuous and under current law, perfectly legal. But if laws change in the future, you're creating ex post facto a dossier that can be used against yourself. You're building your own criminal trial package against yourself if you're involved in social media. Stay away from it, folks.
And that's sort of how revolutions work, isn't it? Once the revolution's over, then you get a new set of laws, and they're retroactive, and right. In every civil war and every revolution, people lose their heads for being on the wrong side.
Right. Look at what's going on right now with the Erdogan government in Turkey, where they've turned people's social media and letters to the editor and what were heretofore perfectly legitimate legal expressions of personal opinion. They've turned those against people, and they now have tens of thousands of people in jail right now, and hundreds of thousands of people who have either lost their jobs or have been demoted, socially ostracized by the Islamic government simply for expressing their opinions in the past. But as you mentioned, this is all ex post facto, where they take what was legal behavior and criminalize it, and then penalize people at a future date. It's just happened in Turkey, and it could happen anywhere on the planet. So again, folks, please avoid social media, or if you are involved in social media, make your content there so incredibly vanilla bland that it can't be used against you. So if you want to post about what you had for dinner the other night, fine. But if it gets into religion, politics, Second Amendment issues, or anything that might be misconstrued at a later date, do not ever post that sort of thing to social media.
And the divide that we're seeing between the WikiLeaks, Breitbart, and InfoWars versus the CNN, Google, and Fakebook, this is really indicative of what's happening in the populace, isn't it? I mean, the divide, the reason that this fight is so big and so pronounced is because the divide among the people is there's such a great chasm between the left and the right. Where do you think that's headed?
Well, I think it all comes down to red states versus blue states, and it could come down to literally geography by the time all is said and done, because the vast majority of the people who are the ardent left-wingers in what are labeled the blue states could very well insist upon either the partition of states from the Union or partitions within states to create separate states. That divide is not going to get any better. If anything, it's going to get worse, because the demographics are kind of filtering themselves out, where you have the East Coast and the West Coast and a few major cities in between that are ultra-liberal, and then you've got the conservative, essentially libertarian heartland in between. And we really have the makings for a second civil war brewing in this country. It's almost, from a demographic standpoint, almost inescapable, because that chasm grows deeper and deeper with every passing day. And whether there's formal movements like My American Readout movement, where people are relocating, or informal, almost subconscious movements where people are fleeing the cities because they're liberal cesspools, that all those demographic shifts are going to continue. And if anything, I think they're going to accelerate. There was a book published about 10 years ago called The Great Divide. And it describes the red state, blue state chasm, that paradigm. And I highly recommend that book. It's a little dated now, but if you look at that and compare it to the recent election results and you look at those geographically, there are huge, huge differences that now exist in this country. And those differences, I think, are going to reach the stage of being irreconcilable differences. And at some point, to use the phrase irreconcilable difference, I guess there's going to be a point of divorce that's going to take place.
Jim, thank you so much for taking time to talk to us today. Before you go, can you just tell the folks where they can go to find all of your work, your fiction book series, the Patriot series is very, 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 very informative. It's got a lot of great prepping advice woven into a really fantastic story. Tell folks where they can find that and where they can find your blog that's just chock full of the information that they're going to need to survive what's coming.
Well, thank you, Mark. Yes, my blog is available free of charge, and it's, again, at survivalblog.com. All the archives are fully searchable. They now date back 12 years, and there's no super secret members only area. It's all available free of charge, fully searchable. I recommend that your listeners take full advantage of that and print out the most important articles for them and at least copy some articles to a memory stick. We do have an archive available, but you can do that, essentially build your own archive free if you just take the time to do it and throw it on a stick. I do have a number of published novels and nonfiction books, but I'm not here to sell books. If folks are on a limited budget, I recommend you just get those from the local library or find used copies at used bookstores or thrift stores. You can often find used copies of novels for just a dollar or two. Again, it's survivalblog.com.
Jim, thanks again for making time for us today.
Thank you, Mark, and may God bless you and all your listeners.
Get prepared before disaster strikes. PrepperRecon.com offers Molly-compatible individual first aid kits for your home, auto, or bug-out bag. These kits have everything you need to address a traumatic injury, including an Israeli battle dressing, quick clot, EMT shears, suture kit, Steri-Strips, tourniquet, tough strip bandages, and so much more. Kits are available in OD Green, Coyote, Black, and ACU. $99 includes shipping. Go to PrepperRecon.com and click the store tab at the top of the homepage. Order today before it's too late.